The Word of God is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been put out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. In Romans chapter 3, it shows us the righteousness of God apart from the law. That the truth of the righteousness given to us through Christ is shown in chapter 3. And prior to that, Romans shows us that we, all of us, were sinners before God. The law of God was given to the Israelites, and no matter how much they tried, they could not keep the law of God. God called Israel to be His nation, to be His children, to be His bride, and therefore God gave them His commandments, His law. But the reality was that the nation of Israel, the people, could not keep the law of God. They were not like His bride. They were unlike His children. They were unlike His people, who should keep the law of God. So setting down His law, He gave us His new law, His new covenant, regardless of how much people tried, because of the depravity of mankind, God gave His new law, His new covenant, that He promised to give us new heart, the new law. Law was given, and the people tried to keep it, and depending on whether they kept it perfectly or not, life and death was determined. But the new covenant was given to us to remind us the fact that we were dead in our trespasses and therefore step aside, and God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to enable us now to live a new life. And this is the gospel, this is the good news, because we cannot keep the law of God. We were unable to live a holy life, but God offered us His Son, Jesus Christ, who will live a perfect life on our behalf. How tragic, how miserable is it for a mankind to try to live a holy life, to try to live life on their own power. But God, who is the absolute God, the sovereign God, offered Himself that He will come into us to live a life on behalf of us, and therefore it relieves us of this burden to keep the law of God perfectly. And that is the new covenant of the New Testament times. So apart from the law, therefore, the grace of God has been revealed to us. And through Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. And that is a summary of what we looked at in chapter 3 of Romans. And in chapter 4, it further goes on to explain the truth of becoming righteous in using the life of Abraham. And it gives an example of the life of Abraham as life lived by faith. And who was Abraham? And it likens God Himself as one who gives life to the dead. And it gives and it portrays God as one who calls into being what was not. So even though there was nothing, even though there was darkness, when God speaks and says, "Let there be light," there was light. And so Abraham, he had no fleshly reasons, worldly reason to believe in what God promised. But Abraham, by faith, believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And God, who is invisible, He appeared to Abraham, just as God appeared to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul heard God and experienced God, but his companions, his traveling partners, could not hear nor experience the presence of God. As God called Saul, "Saul," and he asked, "Who are you?" And God answered, "It is I whom you are persecuting." And he fell down on his knee as he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church. He encountered Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He encountered Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. So for 3 days, he could not eat nor drink nor see. He was in a state of shock in encountering God Himself. And in the same way, God revealed Himself and spoke to Abraham and promised him a son. And as Abraham heard the voice of God and saw the number of stars in the sky, and as God promised that His people will be like the number of stars in the sky, and when he heard God's promises, it says Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. And from there on, nothing he believed in a circumstance that he could not believe, but he believed on the promise of God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And when he was 100 years old, the promised son was given. And as soon as the promised son was given, God commanded him to offer up Isaac, his promised son, as a sacrifice. And from the father's perspective, that was a tragic command that God would require of Abraham, to offer up his son as a sacrifice. But Abraham believed that when he would offer Isaac as a sacrifice, that God would grant life. So Abraham experienced and believed God, who brings life out of nothing, who brings something from nothing. And so as he obeyed God and about to kill Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, God called Abraham and told him to stop and provided a lamb to take place of Isaac to be offered as a sacrifice. So on behalf of Isaac, the lamb died. In the same way, Jesus Christ, He took upon our place and died on the cross. And in Jesus Christ, what happened to Isaac was a picture of what would happen to Jesus Christ, that He would die but rise again. So Isaac, who was born out of the promise of God, not according to Abraham's strength, but it was according to God's promise, God's word. And at the Mount Moriah, he was to be killed as a sacrifice, but God provided a sacrifice and gave life back to Isaac. So Isaac was a son who was as good as dead and brought back to life. So Isaac, who was the son of the promise, who was a son whom he could not have out of his flesh, a son who was good as dead at the Mount Moriah, but given life. And what is this all a picture of? It is the picture of his son, Jesus Christ. God who spoke to Abraham, he himself came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. As God called into Abraham's life, God calls into your life. For what reason? Just as he wanted to give Isaac to Abraham, he calls us to give us his son, Jesus Christ, into you. That Jesus Christ would die and rise again along with you. So why did God call us? To give us his son Isaac, to give us his son Jesus Christ. And that Son of God became you and me. And on our behalf, he went to the cross and died and came back to life. Just as God gave Abram his son Isaac, and Isaac had to go through the experiences of dying and giving life back again. And in the same way, Jesus Christ came and he embraced, he took upon himself you and me, and he went to the cross and died and rose again. And because Jesus died and rose again, you and I died and rose again. And so to give us his son Jesus Christ, he has called you and me. Beloved, in this day and age, you and I are Abrahams. See, in the Old Testament times, it was only shown to Abraham as a picture of what is to come in the future in the person of Jesus Christ. And through believing and through faith in Jesus Christ, we are granted God's righteousness. By believing that Isaac would die and rise again, in the same way, we would live through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the main passage this morning that we read from Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 11 writes about the blessings of those who are made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And these are the words, blessings given to Abraham, and these are the words and blessings now given to us today. So what are the blessings given to those who are justified through faith? And these blessings are the ones that we do not have on our own. The love, grace, peace, hope, life, glory, these six things are written in these verses. Love, grace, hope, peace, life, glory. These are not the things that are found in an earthly man, but these are all being granted from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things became ours through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is grace, and this is what it means to be loved, to have eternal hope, to have eternal life, to have the glory of God residing within us. It all has been made and offered to us through his Son Jesus Christ, which we did not have on our own. So every verse in these verses are given individually to each and every one of you. As we sit here in the pews, and as we read in the scriptures that it is the truth, this is the reality, and as we read that God has given us his love, that God has given us his grace, that we now have hope, that we now have eternal life, and that we now have the glory of God upon us. These are miraculous things and great things, but many of us sit here in our pews where these truths are not something that we can perceive, and we sit here without being moved by the greatness of these blessings. You may hear and know these things, but the reality is many of you do not truly experience these blessings and truths in your lives. So the question is, why? Why do we not feel and experience these things? And just because you don't experience these truths revealed in these verses does not negate the truthfulness of these things. Just because you don't experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ and resurrection of yourself in Christ does not negate, does not nullify the truthfulness of the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the truth is that God loved us. The truth is that God gave us eternal life. The truth is that there is glory within us. But however, we don't sense it, we don't feel it with our feelings. Just because there is a lack of feeling and experience in these truths doesn't make these truths not real. If these things are true, then why do we not sense it? Why do we not feel it? It is because our spiritual eyes are closed. Even though that God's grace has been given to us, it's not that He will give us His grace. The Bible says His grace has been given unto us, but something is hindering His grace from flowing into us. And therefore, because of that hindrance, that we don't sense the coming of His grace upon us. So, beloved, it is not through our feelings we believe. It is that someone has to help us, because this is something that is outside of us. There is nothing within us that would enable us to believe in these truths. It has to be the Holy Spirit that opens our spiritual eyes. It has to be the Spirit who takes away these hindrances that keeps us from experiencing these truths. And so with the help of the Spirit, when we experience these truths, we come to truly know that these things are true. And we say the Bible says such and such things, and someone tells us to believe in these things. We cannot on our own simply believe as we want to, because left on our own, we have no ability to believe the miracles, believe what is beyond our understanding. Beloved, for the earthly man, it is easy for us to believe the things that happen here on earth, but these truths are outside of this world. And so how can we come to truly believe in these things that is outside of this world? It is impossible on our own. So we must be sure to know and come to know that left on our own, it is impossible to believe. Even if you will yourself to believe, it is not possible left on to yourself. Then how can you believe when left on to yourself? It is impossible to believe. If your eyes are open, then there is no work, there is no effort required. But it is not our works, but it is in the opening of our eyes. Instantaneously, we would know and we would see. When our spiritual eyes are open, we would instantaneously be able to believe in what Christ has done for us. All the truths of the Scripture, of the Gospel, would be a reality to us as soon as our spiritual eyes are open. So once once our physical eyes are open, we are able to see the obstacles that are around us and we are able to maneuver through them. And in the same way, once our spiritual eyes are open, we are able to believe what Christ has done for us, and we're able to truly now experience and feel what Christ has done for us. And as I have shared with you in the past, this couple had a son, but this child was born blind. Naturally, the parents were disheartened to see their child not being able to see. So the parents were out working, trying to make a living. So this child who is blind was left in the house, could not go anywhere, but he remained in the house, but somehow he made his way, feeling through his hands, somehow out to the front door of his house. But through this ordeal, he was exhausted and somehow he fell asleep at the front door of his house. And his parents returned and saw their child who fell asleep exhausted outside the front door of their house. And how painful would it have been for the parents. So his parents lifted him up, embraced him, and brought him into the house. The child fell asleep. A few hours later, the child woke up and he remembered that he somehow made it outside of the home, and he remembered waiting for the parents, and he realized that he fell asleep. And so he only remembered being outside of the house, and now as he woke up, he was thumbing his way around, feeling his way around, thinking that he needs to get back into the house. But the reality is that his parents already brought him back into his room. There is no need for him to try to feel his way through back into the house. So what is important for that child, beloved? It is important for the child to open his eyes and to know that he is already brought back into the house. And that is the gospel, beloved. Just as the Father brought him back to the house, it is Jesus who brought you back into the house and provided a way out from your sins. So, beloved, there is no way, there is no need for you to feel your way back. There is no way, there is no need for you to work to come back into the house. But it only requires for your eyes to be open to see what Christ has done for you already. So what is the most important thing that needs to happen? It is for the eyes to be open. Once your spiritual eyes are open, then you will know and believe and experience in God's grace. So once your spiritual eyes are open, then the truth will enter into your hearts. And the person of Jesus Christ will enter into you, and he will dwell within you and live through you. Then you will experience the 6 blessings that are given to those who are justified through faith. So all these heavenly blessings will become yours. And these blessings are not ours. We don't experience it because our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are still blind. We live as if though we have nothing, though everything's been given to us through his Son. Jesus Christ, for our sins, went to the cross and died. And on the cross, he cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And he died on the cross for our sins, for such the grace of God, for such love of God shown to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. We have no There is nothing that moves us, as if the cross of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with us. And this is because we are dead from eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, beloved, it is true that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and rose again, but we fail to believe. We fail to see that truth. So, beloved, stop trying to research, stop trying to study the details of the gospel. But what is the issue is the fact that your spiritual eyes need to be open. Beloved, Jesus Christ died for the entire world. So for those who can hear the gospel being preached this morning, Christ died for all. He provided an answer for the problem of sin for all humanity. So, beloved, it is not through research, it is not through studying that we come to believe in the gospel. But the mankind continues to live questioning and doubting the truthfulness of the gospel. But once your spiritual eyes are open, then the wave of the grace of God will begin to enter into your life. So verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may think that grace of God is given to those who try hard. That is not true. That is a lie. Receiving the grace of God is not through our mere works. Faith is simply receiving what has been accomplished already. So still remaining in the nature of mankind after eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, the mankind continues to question and doubt what God has done for us. So Satan, the devil, continues to cause us to doubt and question. And so Apostle Paul, that's what he experienced. He experienced that what causes him to doubt and not believe, it is the devil. It is Satan still causing us to doubt in the Gospels. It is the doing, the work of the devil within a person to cause us to doubt the Gospel. So since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how can a man be justified, the one who was born in sin and death? How can he or she be justified? Is it through works? No, one can never be made just, because only one is righteous, which is God Himself. That righteous God did something, and through what He did, He offered His accomplished work upon us. And when we simply receive what He offers to us, when we simply receive that, God counts that as righteousness. But if only one is righteous, it is God. He is the one who acted out the deed. He became a man. He went to the cross, and when He went to the cross, He did away with all the consequences of sin, all the curse of sin, and in 3 days He rose again. And His resurrected life, we were included in Christ who rose again. When He died, we died. When He died, our sins were made clean. And to believe in that work of Jesus Christ, God counts us as righteous. God counts us as clean before God, even though God is the only one who is righteous. Because we were made one with Him, now we are counted as righteous. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. The wheat that falls to the ground and dies and bears fruit, is there a difference between the seed that falls to the ground and the seed that is still hanging on the plant? It is the same, beloved. In the same way, beloved, you and I are both sons of God. Jesus Christ is the first son. We are the sons of God. But you, out of lack of faith, you are tempted to look at yourself and you see all your shortcomings. You see all your unlikeness of yourself to Christ, but by faith you come to realize that you, your own self, die every day, just as Apostle Paul experienced. So this is what you are called to believe. Believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for some, they say they believe, but there is no experience of the gospel. Why? It is because you believed. You try to believe on your own. Beloved, Jesus Christ, He is the only one who is the faith. For you to say you believe, that is not genuine faith. And that is why you don't experience the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ, He Himself is the faith. That Jesus Christ, when He comes into us through the Word of God, when He comes into us, in other words, that is when faith comes into us. The more of Jesus that come into us, because Jesus Christ is faith, and so we believe through faith of Jesus Christ. And so without Christ, for you to say you believe, that is not genuine. You come to believe only when Christ enters into you, because Christ is faith. And therefore it is important for you to continue to hear the word of God. And as you hear the word of God, the more of the person of Jesus Christ will come into you. And when Christ comes into you, faith of Jesus Christ causes you to be able to believe. So when you believe through the faith of the person of Jesus Christ, then the truth of the gospel becomes a reality in your life. So therefore, do not try on your own to believe. This is one of the false teachings of many pastors, to tell people to try to believe on their own. And so, beloved, there is two persons within you. There is one who is in Adam and one who is in Jesus Christ. So what I'm telling you is stop trying to believe as a person still remaining in Adam. But you as a person in Jesus Christ, that's the person that would be made able to believe. The person who is in Jesus Christ, just as the water flows down, it will be natural for that person to believe. So do not stop trying as a person still under Adam, but as a person in Christ. Then as Christ comes into us, then faith would come into us. And that faith comes not from our works, from our efforts, from our will, but it comes through the hearing of the word of Christ. God knows that there is nothing within us that would enable us to believe. God knows that there is no amount of works in our efforts that would make us righteous before God. So rather than say, I'm going to try harder, but you must come to know that it is the coming of the person of Jesus Christ. That is what faith is. So to come to know that truth, you must pray to the Lord to open your eyes. So through such faith, then we are justified. And once that justification comes, then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the greatest blessings given upon a person who has been declared justified. That person now has peace with God. So when we are granted that faith, then we become part of God's family. And we become one in God's family. Just as Christ and God the Father was one, then we become one with God because we are all now made as sons of God. So through Jesus Christ, we became sons of God. That means we are now one with God. So we have peace with God, meaning that we now have fellowship with God. We now are one with God. We now are in the family of God. How glorious is this truth, to be in the family of God, to be made one with God, just as Jesus is one with God. So we have peace with God. In verse 2, it says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Through Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. In the past, we used to be in the world, but now, by faith, we are standing on His grace. Grace is the place on which we are standing. And we have entered into the place of grace. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, it puts it this way. It says, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We receive boldness and confidence and freedom in approaching God. Think of this, beloved. If you have little children at home, and if a child is very passive and seem to have something to say but not able to quite ask for something that the child has in mind, as if that child is not a child, and just kind of goes around but not really share his heart and ask for what he wants. Would the parent, would the father be happy with such a child? But the father will rather prefer a child who will come honestly and boldly call father and boldly, honestly request for whatever is in his heart. That is the child that the father would be pleased with. And I love children. I love interacting with children, a little child. And they're absent of this self-absorbed person when they are really young, before their self is formed within them. How innocent is that child? How pure is that child? Whether they are running around with runny nose or tears in their eyes, parents love that child who is lacking just any idea of self. It is a beautiful picture because that child just honestly displays who they are, their weaknesses, their meekness. And when we see that pure unselfishness in a little child, we even know to love them and to cherish them. And that is what Jesus Christ saw when children came to him, pointing to them. And he said to his disciples, unless you become like them, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So the blessing of being justified through faith and now being able to stand on the grace of God, that is a great blessing. In that, we now approach God with freedom and confidence. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, it says, the point of what we are saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. He is our high priest. According to the line of Melchizedek, he was not like the Aaronic priest. And this high priest who is in the line of Melchizedek, he is the one who now grants the bread and wine to those who have new life in Christ. And it reminds us that we do have such a priest who is now seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. And he is now interceding on our behalf. And when you see in a room being lit by the light, when you flip the switch on, the power that causes the light bulb to illuminate the room, the power doesn't come from this room, but it comes from where that electricity is generated. And it is the same, beloved, in regards to the fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest in the throne of the majesty, now praying on our behalf. And because of his prayer on our behalf, you are made able to now live by faith here on earth. And when your spiritual eyes are open, you begin to little by little see what God is doing on your behalf, the prayers that Jesus Christ is lifting up in the right hand of the throne of the majesty. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you are once far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So if we are in grace, then we know that we are brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law, which its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the realm of those who are living in grace, who are under his grace. So verse 2 says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Here it says, for those who are justified now boast in the hope of the glory of God. Beloved, what do you hope for? What do you live for? In what do you find your joy? Is it in wealth? Is it in fame? And many of us are still living here on earth, putting our hopes in those things. But those who are saved, they rejoice in seeing the glory of God. So with the help of the Spirit, when we believe, we come to experience gratitude. We come to experience the thankfulness. So, beloved, what glory are you striving for? What glory are you seeking and waiting for? If you're truly, genuinely saved, it is not in the things of the world. Those are refuse. Those are the things that will be considered waste. But beloved, we must find our hope, we must find our glory in Christ, in the glory of God. And at the end of the glory of God is in the second appearing of Jesus Christ, when at the second coming, even our body will be glorified, and this world will be judged, and his millennial kingdom will begin. And that is the hope of the glory of God. In verse 3, it's not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So for the believers, even in suffering, we rejoice. Why is that? For unbelievers, they see suffering as something that leads to death. But those who are in Christ, we view suffering differently. We view suffering differently because it says we even glory in our suffering. Why? Because in the life of every Christian, suffering is a must. From the view of the earthly man, suffering is a curse. But from the perspective of God, suffering is something that is absolutely required for every believer. Because even after being saved, we still have our flesh until the time our bodies are glorified. We still have to live with our flesh, and we have to live through faith here in this world. And there are so many things that are unstable. And so what breaks our bondage to our flesh is suffering. So for believers, even when you are diagnosed with terminal disease, that is not the end. So when sufferings come, when disease comes, that is not the end for us. In fact, we must experience dying every day, because there are much that is within us that must be put to death daily. And the more of ourselves that die, the more of Christ is made in us daily. Just as a metal worker needs a hammer to beat down on a piece of metal or iron to form a knife, a sword, anything that it's making, He has to hammer it down in the same way the suffering has to be there for the believers, for us to be molded to the likeness of Christ. And so these are sufferings are granted by God to us for our transformations, for our sanctification. And so the more sufferings we go through, the more our faith becomes a reality in our lives. So even when our bodily diseases come, we experience joy, peace, even in the midst of our physical sufferings, because those things cannot end our joy that we experience in Jesus Christ. Whether you have health or not, you will someday die anyway. So consider what comes your way, including physical illness, as a tool that God will use to sanctify you. And even come to know that even greater suffering, greater pain must come your way for your faith to be increased even more. So when Jesus prayed, "Move this cup away from me, but not yet according to my will, but your will be done." At Gethsemane, Jesus was victorious in his prayer, and that is why he was able to go to the cross confidently and was victorious, where he prayed, "Not according to my will, but your will be done." And so Jesus teaches his disciples to pray that just as his will is done in heaven, that his will may be fulfilled here on earth. And so your prayer ought to be that his will be done in your lives. And that is a prayer of Jesus Christ, that not our will be done, but his will be done in our lives. And then if his will is a reality in our lives, there we will experience peace. And I pray such will be a reality in your life today. Apostle Paul, in the same way he suffered, he was a powerful apostle of God, and he performed miracles. But when he was suffering, he prayed to the Lord 3 times. But God's answer to him was that his grace was sufficient for him, reminding him that even if I heal your physical disease, you will eventually have to die anyway. And so Apostle Paul came to know that it was in his weakness that he is made strong, and in it that he experienced the grace of God. And at the end, he concluded that he would boast in his weakness. And he could not have prayed such prayer in his old person, but such prayer was possible because he was in Christ. He was a new creation in Christ already. So for you to continue to remain in the old person and to say that you have the grace of God, it is a lie. No matter how much you try, still remaining under the lineage of Adam, it is not possible. You must find yourself in Christ, and only in Christ you find genuine faith. So suffering produces perseverance. And for you to persevere means that you have a goal. Though you might suffer now, but you have a goal, so you move forward. And perseverance produces character, and character, hope. So when sufferings come and you persevere through it, you experience character in your life. So suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance builds character. And with character built into your life, then you are able to be victorious whatever sufferings come your way, and character produces hope. And the purpose for which Jesus Christ came and his second coming must be our hope. It says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So what is the hope for the believers? Apostle Paul is that he is not ashamed of the gospel, In other words, that he is not ashamed of the cross. Cross, which meant shame to the worldly people. It was a source of embarrassment, source of shame to the worldly people back then. But contained within it is the mystery of God. For us who believe, it is no longer a source of shame. It says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What is the purpose for which the Holy Spirit came into this world? Holy Spirit came for the saving work of the cross of Jesus Christ. So God loved the world. He came, His Son, He gave us the cross of Jesus Christ, and the purpose for which the Holy Spirit was given to give us the love of God into our hearts. So one thing that the Holy Spirit continues to remind us and give us is the love of God into our hearts. Verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die, just as some patriots would die for their country. There might be some rare people who would die for a righteous cause or righteous person. So a good person, so it's difficult for this world to find someone that might be willing to die for a righteous and good person. But it says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is a rare case when someone will be willing to die for a righteous person. But God, when we were sinners, Christ died for us, through which He demonstrated His own love for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So what is this salvation, the second salvation here? Through His death we were given salvation. But now it says, having been reconciled, it talks about salvation through His life. Jesus Christ, for our sins, He was nailed to the cross. However, to give us life, He had to resurrect. Jesus Christ came into the world. He died. He rose again. He is now seated at the right hand of God. He came, He died, He rose again, and He ascended. So these four facets of the gospel is important. But for us to encounter Jesus Christ, for Jesus to enter into us, it was not enough for Him to come. It was not enough for Him to die. But there had to be the resurrection of Jesus Christ for Him to enter into us. So for Jesus to be a reality in our lives, there had to be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when this resurrected Jesus Christ comes into us, and when He begins to reside in us, then comes the transformation. Jesus died on the cross. He paid for the penalty of our sins. But the resurrection of Jesus, not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but it was for Him to come to us as life. In verse 9, that's why it says, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, so through His death we were reconciled to Him. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Death of Jesus Christ is our subjective faith. His resurrection, death of Jesus Christ is the objective faith. But resurrection of Jesus Christ is our subjective faith. That's why in Corinthians, that without the resurrection, that you are still under the sin, but because he rose again, all of the problems of sin has been answered. If Jesus only died and that was the end, then that is not the complete gospel. That Jesus came to pay for the penalty of sins, Jesus had to rise again and come back to the throne room of God. He had to return to God and return to God and present us as those who were cleansed through his blood. And that's when God would receive and accept the ones who are saved through Jesus. And through his acceptance of the work of Jesus Christ in saving us, God, out of his joy, would send his Spirit, Holy Spirit, upon us. And that is why Jesus had to die and rise again and resurrect, ascend into heaven. So Jesus' death was to reconcile us, to cleanse us, but he had to rise again to come into us as a Spirit who gives life, that we might live a sanctified life. The last verse, it says, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So we are reconciled with God, and now we rejoice in the glory of God, and we rejoice and receive the love and grace of God, and receive all these things in Christ. And these are the blessings for those who are justified through faith. We experience the peace, the grace, the hope, and the life, and the glory of God. So, beloved, it is a matter of our eyes being open. And I encourage you to pray that God will open your spiritual eyes to see the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unless your eyes are open, then you will not be able to believe in the gospel. You will not be able to experience the joy. And I pray that these blessings of those for those who are justified through faith will be a reality in your lives. And pray that your eyes will be open, that you will no longer just remain in the objective faith, but experience Christ in experiencing him in the subjective faith. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work within us in making these truths a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.